Thank you, musicians, for your ministry music. Once again, thank you for all those involved in the choir ministry this term. May God bless you as you honour the Lord in and with godly music. Let's take our Bibles, please, and go to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans, chapter 15. Romans, chapter 15. I'd like for us to see from the scriptures how we can admonish one another. We stress the fact this morning that as a New Testament church, we are a body. As a New Testament body, we have a responsibility as a member of that body to minister to the remainder of that body. We have to do so in Christian love, with unconditional love, and the power of the Holy Spirit. One way that we can minister, serve one another, is by taking the charge seriously to admonish one another. So I'd like to note from the scriptures this evening, what does it mean to admonish one another? Romans chapter 15, verses 13 to 15 reads, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing there in Thailand, and we do pray for Pastor Shemish and his dear family. I pray that you'd strengthen them and encourage them in spirit. We pray that as a group of pastors within that very needy land, I pray they would band together and seek out lost souls for whom you died and whom you one day will come again for. So, Lord, I do pray for your blessing upon that ministry there, and thank you for our ministry here in this place at this time. Lord, equip us to better minister to one another in and through your word. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we do pray. Amen. What does it mean to admonish one another? The Bible teaches us in verse number 14 that we have been equipped. We need to be equipped to admonish one another. Well, the word admonish here is an interesting word. It means to place into someone's mind a warning. In other words, the word warn is used interchangeably with the word admonish. Now, at a glance, you might note that word admonish and not see the principle of warn, but it literally means to warn an individual. And the Bible teaches us that we are to have a ministry of warning one another. This is a demonstration of unconditional love. When you and I risk the possibility of a broken relationship, reaction, even rejection by obeying the word of God and admonishing a brother or sister in Christ. The Lord Jesus, as he spent time with his disciples there in Mark chapter 14, verse 18, he boldly spoke up and said, "In our midst there is one that will betray me." See, the Lord Jesus was prepared to admonish. Noah received God's admonition and built an ark and spent a good period of time warning people to flee the wrath of God. But yet nobody would listen. But yet Noah was prepared to admonish. The word implies a definite exhortation, correction, warning. And this is the responsibility of every blood-bought child of God. Note then verse number 14, the usage of the phrase, my brethren. To admonish one another is the responsibility of every blood-bought child of God. Well, you might say, Pastor, that's your responsibility. Well, it is, but it's your responsibility as well. And may I plead with you that you would join arms with me, that we would love one another unconditionally and be prepared to admonish one another. My brethren. God's referring to the children of God. And back in verse number 13, the Bible teaches us, those of you that have joy and peace, and those of you that are bound in hope. So he clarifies the fact that this charge to admonish, to warn one another, is a charge given to the child of God that knows what it means to have joy to the full, knows what it means to have peace that passes all understanding, and knows what it means to have peace without any limitation. Just as a parent has the responsibility of warning a child concerning danger ahead, we as the children of God have the responsibility to admonish one another. Note there in verse number 13, there is a reference to the power of the Holy Spirit. We can obey this command in the power of the Holy Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit of God that gives us the power to obey the written word. And God calls us to admonish one another. How can we admonish one another? Well, the Bible teaches us it's possible. For those of us that have God's joy, God's peace, God's hope, the power of the Holy Spirit, it's possible for you and I to admonish. How do we admonish one another without judging one another? Now, we need to be Christ-like. Judging is often a perception of often an admonition. There is a difference between unjustly judging somebody. And yes, we are called upon to make judgments. We are called upon to discern. But here within this passage of Scripture, God tells us that we are to admonish one another. Now note then verse number 14, some essential qualities that must be present in order to be an effective admonisher. Foundationally, we ought to be saved and have God's joy and God's peace and God's hope. But note here in verse number 14, leading up to able also, note that little phrase, able also to admonish one another. Now he's referring to Christians. I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you who are what? Full of goodness. Full of goodness. Some essential qualities that need to be present in your life and in my life if we are to effectively admonish one another. The Bible teaches us we need to be full, overflowing with goodness. This goodness here is in reference to one that is progressing in a Christ-like manner. One that is growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. In other words, the reference to being full of goodness is, in other words, referring to Christ-likeness. Christ-like characteristics. If we are walking with the Lord and we are being changed into His image in the power of the Holy Spirit, in and through the written word, then God will enable us to effectively admonish one another. A life that is reflecting Christ-likeness, the fullness of God's goodness, godliness, this individual has the power to effectively admonish others. Full of goodness. And also it goes on to read in verse number 14, filled with all knowledge. This knowledge here has a twofold application. The application of one's relationship with the Lord. And also the application of one's knowledge, understanding of the Word of God. If we are to effectively admonish one another, warn one another, we need to be men and women of God that walk with God. Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Experiencing God's peace. Experiencing God's joy. What right do you and I have to warn and admonish a believer if we, within our personal walk with God, do not understand what it means to live in hope, to have the joy of the Holy Ghost, and to have the peace that passes all understanding? If we are not Christ-like, how can we effectively admonish one another? It'll be just a work of the flesh. And I'm convinced that's often why people are offended unnecessarily. And why often our admonition is not effective, because we've done so, our motive might be pure, but we've done so in the power of the flesh, not in the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I need to have a workable knowledge of the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that we are to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that rightly divides the word of truth. Our admonition, brethren, needs to be based upon, not upon our personal preferences, but based upon the eternal word of God. That needs to be the basis of warning, admonishing one another. So make sure that as you and I seek to admonish others, warn others, make sure that we have a biblical basis. Make sure that you have scripture to support your admonition. See, if our life is honorable, respected, and if our admonition is based upon the Word of God, and we do so out of a consistent walk with God, then our warning, our admonition, one with another, will be effective. If there is Christ-likeness, if there is admonition based upon the Word of God, the usage of the Word of God, and if we sincerely walk with God, thereby we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, then our admonition will be effective. Admonish one another. When was the last time you admonished somebody? When was the last time that you warned somebody? When was the last time you showed enough concern for a brother or sister in Christ to warn them, to admonish them? Well, Pastor, that's your job. Well, it is, but it's your job as well. And I would deeply love that you would jump on board and help me. I wish I was everywhere, all at the same time. I wish I could work around the clock 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I can't. And God places you where He places you, and you have relationships with people in God's providence, and if it is a relationship with a blood-bought child of God, you have a responsibility towards them. You have the responsibility to admonish. They have a responsibility to admonish you. We are to admonish and warn one another. As we admonish one another, let's know first and foremost this evening that we are to do so out of deep concern for that individual. Go to Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20. So the Bible makes reference to the presence of joy and peace and hope. The Bible makes reference to being full of goodness, Christ-likeness. The Bible makes reference to be filled with all knowledge in reference to our relationship with the Lord and our knowledge of the Word of God, which is the basis of our warning. But as we admonish one another, let's be careful that we do not do so in the power of the flesh. But first and foremost, I'd like to encourage you practically this evening as we take the challenge to admonish and warn one another, that we must do so out of a heart of deep concern for that individual. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 30, as the Apostle Paul spent a few moments with the pastors of the church at Ephesus, shortly before his departure, he gave an admonition. He placed a warning in their mind. Note then verse 28 of chapter 20 of the book of Acts. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples unto them. But note the words of verse 31. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one, night and day, with tears. So as the Apostle Paul assembled this group of pastors together, he said, I want you to be careful, men. Take charge over the church. Because there will be deceivers that will come in that will seek to destroy and seek to devour. So we find within this charge the Apostle Paul demonstrating a genuine concern, not hatred, genuine concern. And brethren, when we admonish biblically, when we admonish one another, from a spiritual basis, it should be done so with a tear, with a genuine concern. I'm warning you, be careful, said the Apostle Paul, because when I depart, the wolves will come out of the woodworks, he said. Take charge, be on guard. We have to admonish one another out of genuine concern. If you really had no regard for that individual, then you cannot truly admonish them. I think sometimes we admonish, we warn one another, but really we have no real genuine concern for that individual. We find that Jonathan admonished David time and time again concerning what was up ahead for this man of God. We see that an angel of the Lord admonished Joseph and said to Joseph, don't go back to your homeland. You need to go to Egypt and flee because your child is in danger of losing his life. We find in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul mentions by name Alex the coppersmith and said, this man has done me great evil and I warn you. Admonish. Yes, the Apostle Paul named names. And time again, you and I need to name some names. You can say amen to that one. We need to spell it out. We need to be careful of so-and-so. Be careful of so-and-so. Oh, but pastor, that's not very loving. It is loving. When we warn one another of deceivers and those that are going walking contrary to the work of God, that's love. See? And I have a responsibility as your pastor. If it needs to be said, I'll say it. I will name names of individuals that might be dangerous. I've done it in the past. And I'll have to do it again because I love you. And it's your responsibility as well. If you know of an individual that's spending time with a person that is just bad news, quote unquote, you need to say that person's bad news. That person won't help you to grow as a Christian. You need to stay your distance. Are you prepared to do that, brethren? That's your responsibility. And may I charge you, parents, that's your responsibility. If you need to say, that teenager, that child has a problem and I don't want you to spend time with them. That's biblical. That's what we need to do. Well, the pastor, that's a bit harsh. No, it's biblical. See? Admonish one another. The Apostle Paul was prepared to mention names. So as we admonish one another, that needs to be done so out of a heart of concern. But secondly this evening, as we admonish one another, it is to be done personally. As a father should personally set aside a child and just quietly and firmly admonish them in this area, so should you and I. Admonish one another personally. Note there, please, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse number 11, it reads, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Note the reference to personal admonition. And also go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse number 15. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So the Bible teaches us that we have to personally admonish one another. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, the Bible teaches us if one sins against you, you are to go to him or her alone and settle that issue once and for all. And if he or she will not listen to you, then you need to be prepared to resolve that issue and take a witness with you. And apply the pressure to have that situation resolved. And yet, if there is no reconciliation, then the church needs to be involved. See, we have a responsibility one towards another as Bible-believing Christians. And I think many of our churches are decaying from within because men of God, members of God, are not prepared to fulfill their God-given responsibility and are not prepared to warn and admonish. And they allow heretics to roam freely within the church family. They allow gossipers to roam freely within the church family. The pastor might not know of that gossiper, but you know of that gossiper because they're ringing you constantly and gossiping in your ear. You're tolerating that. Shame on you. You ought to admonish them. Say amen. Gossiping is the tongue of the devil. If you're not part of a problem or the solution, that's gossiping. How much information do you need to know? Mind your own business. You don't need to know what's happening in everybody else's life. Just work out what's happening in your life and get busy serving God. It's your responsibility to admonish personally. And if you find yourself, you come across a gossiper, then you need to challenge them. That's gossiping. Not interested. That's wrong. That usually stops them in their track when you make statements like, I'm not interested. Because they are. That's why they're gossiping. Have you heard about? I'm not interested. I'm not interested. No, I'm not. That's a carnal tongue that you're speaking to. Gossip is a mark of carnality. Nothing spiritual about gossiping. Brethren, we need to be warning one another personally. Oh, but Pastor, I just want everybody to think that I'm a nice person. Well, I'm a nice person too. But that's okay. Be a spiritual person and be prepared to admonish. Amen? So some of us have got this hang-up on just being Mr. and Mrs. Nice Guy. Brethren, live in the real world. That's not the real world. See? We need to be prepared to warn and admonish personally out of genuine concern. And we need to be persistent as well. Note back there in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul said, I've been warning you night and day for years to be careful concerning those that will come in and deceive. It's a continual process of warning against false doctrine and carnality. It's constant, brethren. God's word is full of warnings and instructions. Quickly, 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Verse number 16, in reference to the scriptures, God's word is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. See, reproof and correction are right there. This is all part of bringing about Christ's likeness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So not only is good doctrine essential to bring about maturity and instruction in righteousness is essential to bring about maturity, but also the Bible teaches us reproof, telling people where they've gone wrong. And then correction, telling people how to make it right. Needs to be persistent. The Bible's full of warnings. The Bible's full of instruction. And brethren, this is a continual process. It's not once and for all. I wish it was. It seems like as a parent, we're constantly admonishing our children. Different stages of life, at different levels, but it's just constant. And so it is, brethren, with you and I as God's people. At different levels, we're admonishing, we're warning one another. I wish it was just a matter of just getting it over and done with. Really, I wish it was, but it's not. It's got to be constant, continual, because that forgetter and that stubborn will is very active. Doesn't like to be admonished, doesn't like to be warned. And brethren, we need to be persistent. Be prepared to admonish. We have to do so with pure motives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Note here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Can you imagine being the Apostle Paul writing the book of Corinthians? That would have been hard. All of the issues he had to address, and they weren't Mickey Mouse issues, they were serious issues, were they not? carnality, division, immorality, Christians taking Christians to court, heresy. Boy, I'm glad he wrote 1 Corinthians, not me. A book full of admonition, full of warning. And note here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 14, the Apostle Paul writes, I write not these things to shame you. I'm not here to embarrass you, said the Apostle Paul. I'm not here to belittle you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. I warn you. I'm not here to embarrass you. I just love you and I want to warn you. And brethren, when you and I are prepared to admonish and warn one another, that's love. The Apostle Paul sincerely wanted to be a blessing to these people. And he said, I'm not here to shame you. I'm not here to highlight your imperfections. I say what I say to, because I love you. I'm concerned about you. Our motives need to be pure. And the next time God leads you to admonish somebody, just make sure, brethren, that the motives are right. Just make sure that you're not out to belittle or chop somebody down. But sometimes, if we're not careful, the flesh can get involved and we can be quick to chop somebody down that we don't really like. Or maybe somebody that's a threat to us. And we feel that they might be bigger and better than us, so we chop them down. Tall poppy syndrome. It's an issue. Make sure your motives are pure. The next time you warn or you admonish a believer, just make sure that from your heart you can sincerely share that admonition with that individual and even say to them, look, what I'm about to say, I'm saying this because I love you. And I really want the best for you. And I don't want you to be hurt, but I want you to go on and serve the Lord. But this is a concern to me. Pure motives. And last but not least, as we consider the admonition to admonish, we are to do so bearing in mind that ultimate goal, which is Christ's likeness. Why do we admonish one another? Why do we need to warn one another? Because ultimately, are we not all responsible to encourage Christ's likeness in the life of others? You ought to be encouraging Christ's likeness in my life, and I should be encouraging Christ's likeness in your life. There in Colossians chapter 1. Note verses 28 and 29, please. Colossians 1, 28 and 29, whom we preach, warning every man, admonishing every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom. To what end? That we may present every man perfect, mature in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Christ likeness. We admonish, we warn one another, because we have a goal in mind, that is Christ likeness. And that should be your pure motive as you warn. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, the Bible teaches us, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. The principle of maturity. Quickly, one more verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. One Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them. There's that word again. Or admonish them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. We as Bible-believing Christians need to warn and admonish one another. Those that are walking disorderly, those that are discouraged, those that are not serving the Lord as they ought to, it's your responsibility to warn, to admonish. To what end? Christ-likeness. Brethren, this evening God commands us to admonish one another. And you might be led to believe, well, that's pastor's responsibility, and that's the youth leader's responsibility, and that's the young adult's responsibility, that's the married couple's responsibility, no, that's the usher's responsibility, no, that's the treasurer's responsibility, or that's the trustee's responsibility, that's the pastor's responsibility, that's the pastor's wife's responsibility, no, it's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to watch over others. And if you see inconsistency, if you see a concern, if God reveals to you a concern in the right spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you have the responsibility to admonish. Because there's always going to be heretics. Do you realize that? There'll always be some ism out there. And to walk that fine line of balance as a Bible-believing Christian is tough. And by God's grace, I try to walk in balance. And by God's grace, you should strive to walk in balance. Not moving to the left or moving to the right, but just walking the straight and narrow path. I believe in continuing in the old paths of the Word of God. By the old paths of the Word of God, I just simply believe that God said it, that settles it. Whether I believe it or not, and that's where we're going to stand. So that means from time to time I've got to say things that I don't like saying. Because it needs to be said. And may I submit to you this evening, there are times that you need to say things that you might not want to say. The MBF was a great meeting. Great preaching. The music was disappointing. We heard rock music at the MBF. Say amen, it's true. We saw video presentations that were worldly, quoted ecumenical leaders such as Billy Graham, and straight out rock music. I wasn't happy with that. And I'll be telling Pastor Lloyd, I just need to settle down a little bit. But I'm warning you, church family, because a number of you were there. Now, to all the churches in this country, I would dare say that we had probably more people there than any other single church. And I support the NBF meetings. You know that. And you do. And you sacrifice to go. But we had to tolerate rock music. That wasn't right. And we had to tolerate what I call TV commercials that were not spiritual. Where there was rock music, quoting characters that we just do not want to rub shoulders with, just not acceptable. And I have a responsibility to you as a pastor to say, I didn't think that was right. The preaching was great, but the music, I've got some concerns. And the TV commercials and movies, I've got some concerns. So this is where Christianity is going today. I don't know what the problem is, but I think the Bible has the standard. Why don't we just stick to the Word of God? Why don't we just pray down the power of God? And why do we have to go and rent the ideas of the devil and incorporate that into Christianity today? I don't understand that. My Bible teaches me that a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. We don't need more visuals. We need the power of God. And that comes by prayer, and that comes by preaching the Bible. And I do pray and hope that you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, will stand true to the Word of God and say, thus saith the Lord, the Bible has a standard of music, and it needs to be godly music, not the music of the world, and we need to admonish one another that we ought not to tolerate the music of the world. Now, we can still love one another. That's okay. It's not an issue. But it's not right. It's not right. May God help us to admonish one another. Oh, Pastor, you just nick out. Well, you know what I think. I think you probably worked it out already. But you need to stick your neck out as well and say what needs to be said and admonish and warn others because you love them. Because you love them. Let's bow for prayer. Let's